Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org.
Etta Cox, it is so good to see you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Pittsburgh jazz baby. Is that what is a jazz baby? Is that?
Well, I'm not a baby, so. I'm a jazz vocalist. Primarily, people know me in this town as a jazz vocalist, but I've been here many, many years, and so I've done a number of things. I'm not from Pittsburgh.
Where are you from originally?
St. Joseph, Missouri.
What brought you here?
An ex-husband.
Oh! Well, we're glad you stayed.
Yeah, when he said we were moving to Pittsburgh, and I remember my reaction was, Pitt what, Pitt where, Pitt who? So I started looking it up to find out about Pittsburgh, and, you know, smoky, and the sun doesn't shine, and all this stuff, you know. But it has turned out to be the highlight of my life being here, and I love Pittsburgh.
That's good to hear. Now, were you singing before you came to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I graduated from college, and I was teaching school in St. Louis, because we had moved to St. Louis, Missouri. And I was singing with a place called Marty's. It was the first club I had ever sung in, and I was trained, classically trained, so I was hitting high C's and blowing out glasses and everything.
Really? Have you blown out a glass
just
for
about,
real?
Just about. They told me wasn't familiar with using a microphone back then, okay. So I'd hit the wall, you know, it was like boom.
Still, but, that's impressive. That's like a superpower.
Many years ago. But I did several things there. I did some shows. But I never did any jazz, per se. It was mostly show tunes until I moved here. And my ex said, I said, if I'm coming to Pittsburgh, I want to sing. And he said, okay, so I found this band, and they play jazz. So I went, jazz? I don't sing jazz. He said, oh. So, but the band that he found was the Al Dow Band.
Oh, wow.
And I went to listen to them, I just thought, wow, you know, it was the type of music that I didn't listen to, and it wasn't in my home. Being from St. Joe, my parents never listened. We had one jazz album, and it was called The Late Late Show, I believe, by Dakota Staton, who is from Pittsburgh.
Mm.
And that's the only one we had, and I memorized all the songs on that album. But mostly it was classical music and the music of the day, you know, Motown or something like that.
So what was transitioning into jazz a challenge for you?
It was a challenge, especially when it came to the scat singing, because I thought that was the craziest thing I'd ever heard. And I didn't know any jazz artist. I had never listened to Ella Fitzgerald or Sarah Vaughan, or didn't know who Miles Davis was. I mean, I was a real novice as far as, and I remember Al saying, have you ever listened to Nancy Wilson? And I said, no. So he put on this record of Nancy Wilson, and she was singing a song called Guess Who I Saw Today. And at the end, she goes, I saw you. And I was like, oh, it just blew my mind. I said, oh, I just love this. You know, and so I got all of her and started memorizing all of her songs.
It didn't take long.
No. There was a freedom in jazz that I had never experienced before, even doing Broadway show tunes or doing classical music. That freedom was just like, well, this note may sound wrong, but it really isn't, you know. And it was just that the freedom that I could explore vocally.
Wow.
And which I thought, wow. And I had quite an appetite for it. So I would shed. For like 2 years, I would teach myself to scat sing, and I wouldn't do it in front of anyone until I felt that I was, because I remember Al saying, well, if you're going to scat, don't be corny. I went, corny? Whoa.
So, yeah, how does one approach scat? I mean, it's very much improvisational.
What it is, And the way that I learned it, you listen to horn players. I would listen to Charlie Parker, or a saxophone player was fabulous, or Clark Terry, I can't think of his name right now, the young man that died very young. But listen to their solos, you know, because any musician, any horn player, they can all scat. Guitarists, they can all scat. It just comes so natural for them because they're playing all those notes. Mm. Whereas a vocalist, you know, it's just not quite as natural for us. And then we get hung up with the, like I teach the kids that I teach at Kappa, don't get hung up with the syllables, the B's and the dee-bop, dee-dee-dop, she-dee-dop, dee-dop. Don't get hung up with that. You can do it with one syllable.
Yeah.
You know, it has to just kind of flow. So
we got a little sample of scat there.
We just have to just kind of let it go, let it fly.
That's got to be very liberating because it's not something that you can plan.
No, that's what makes jazz jazz, improvisation. So if you hear a horn solo or a vocalist, you're never going to hear it the same way twice because it's always right off the top of your head.
That would probably be good therapy for me, I think. Because I'm such a planner, almost to a fault, that I love improv and improv theater and things, but it's tough to let go and just kind of, you know, let it come out. Because, of course, you want to be good. Mm-hmm. You want to sound good. But I imagine it's very liberating once you kind of cross that threshold and just let it out.
It is. I think the first time that I ever decided to branch out and actually scat, we were playing at what was called the Vista. It's called something else now. And Wynton Marsalis was in town. And we were playing there. And I said, let's do But Not For Me. And they said, okay, and counted it off. And I started scatting. And the guy's like, she's never scatted before, you know. And it was good. It was okay. It wasn't corny, was it? Yeah. So I was really proud of myself. And I remember when Marsalis came in, we got pictures we took with him and everything. And
the night you first scatted.
Yeah, it was about that same night.
Scatted. Know. Would that be the past tense of scat?
Let's make it that.
All right. Good. We can do that. So think of me then when you use that term.
I scatted last night.
Scatted. We'll put that in the Pittsburgh Dictionary.
Right.
So, I mean, do you still go back to singing show tunes, Broadway?
Occasionally. Especially, I do a lot of duo work and trio work also. And I never bring any music with me. I never bring any charts. And so I said, you know, you'll make my night go really fast. I'll ask for requests. And if I know it, I do it. You know, and I know a ton of tunes, so most of the time I know it. But now that we have the little iPad, I might know the melody, and I'll just look up the lyrics if I'm not sure of it.
Isn't it fantastic?
I love it.
The world we live in.
I love it.
And, you know, we should mention that the room that we are in right now, this is the presidential suite of the Omni William Penn. We should just told him it was your house, you know.
I should. My baby grand.
But the secret's out. And actually, you performed in this hotel for New Year's Eve. You were the headliner.
Yes, in the Palm Court.
Very good.
And we've been here before. Also coming up, I think, Valentine's Day. We're here for two nights.
Oh, that'll be nice.
That Friday and Saturday. And it's a great hotel. I sang in the lobby for... gosh, what, 2 years? And Skip Peck was playing for me, and I was singing Misty. And I have my contacts in, but I can't see across the room. Most of the time when I'm singing, I don't wear contacts because I don't want to see anybody's face. But I looked across the room, and there was a man standing there, and he gave me afterwards like a thumbs up. It was Johnny Mathis.
Get out of here.
Yes, he was staying in the hotel, and I was singing Misty. I'm like, oh, my God, if I had known.
Is he from around here?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I thought I heard that. I could be wrong. But still, that's impressive.
I was like, wow.
Do you get stage fright?
I did. The larger the stage, the larger the venue, the better off I am. Heinz Hall, no problem. Small clubs, people are a little too close, too close up on you.
That's interesting to hear because, you know, jazz has always struck me as a very intimate musical genre, if I could refer to it as that. And you usually hear it in, you know, smaller, you know, venues, but... the less you see of them out there, the better, I guess.
It's like, I've been doing this such a long time when I think about it, but I used to get very nervous. Hmm. I get more nervous when it's like a small club, you know, when the people are like really close, because they can, if you open your mouth, oh, does she have a filling over here? It's just like, that's like, oh. But the large stage, yeah, I'm very, very comfortable. We opened for Ray Charles years ago.
Wow.
And I remember the at Heinz Hall, and the band guys, they were like, Ray Charles, they were like a little nervous. And they said, you don't seem to be nervous. I said, no. Because I had done Civic Light Opera there for 4 or 5 years, and so I knew the stage. But I said, the minute you walk out, that light's in your face, you can't see anybody. It's great. Love it.
See, it's almost like you're just singing by yourself, and the applause comes in occasionally. But I mean, the people that you have worked with, that you have sung with, I mean, Pittsburgh's got so much history as it is, but the musical history of this city.
It's incredible. And the sad thing about it is that we don't have our own jazz museum here. To recognize all the great people that have come through here, that are still coming through here, because we have a crop of young people right now that are incredible, that are the best musicians and vocalists, and, you know, just getting their names out there. They're right now, you know, learning the trade or whatever, but they're so good. Benny Benack III, for one. Brett Williams, another one who's traveling in, I don't know, Asia or China someplace, but he graduated from Duquesne, or he will graduate this year. Mm. And he's a wonderful, wonderful pianist and a wonderful young man. And Benny Benack, I just judged a competition at the Manchester Craftsman's Guild a couple weeks ago, and he was there. And they whittled it down to 3 finalists, and he was one of the 3 finalists.
Wow.
But he plays trumpet. I think he goes to the Manhattan School in New York. And his dad is Benny Benack II, who has an orchestra. And his dad was Benny Benack, and he used to have the Dodge Kids.
Hmm.
And I did some things with them so many years ago, a long time ago. Now it's the 2nd and the 3rd.
Wow. But they're still here. Yeah. So they're all from Pittsburgh, grown out of this city.
Homegrown.
So, you know, we don't have a jazz museum yet. No. But side note, you and I should work on that. We'll talk. But what do you feel that this is unique about Pittsburgh as far as what it can offer a vocalist or a musician?
There's so many. There are not a lot of venues for you to play, like clubs. They're coming back, or sometimes with jazz, we're almost like an afterthought. I hate to say that. They'll open up a really nice restaurant, and they go, let's put some music in. And so as jazz musicians, we can play in the tiniest spaces, you know, we have. But the camaraderie amongst musicians, we all know one another, we respect one another, and that's, for me, that's the beauty of it. Because I did a job a couple of weeks ago with some musicians from New York, and they came in to Pittsburgh, and they said, there's a lot of jazz here. And I said, yeah, quite a bit, you know. And I could tell they were not real familiar with what we were getting ready to do. It was for a big party. And so I said, oh, gosh, I'm going to have to kind of be in charge of this, you know. And I just started naming tunes, Before You Want It, B-flat, C, you know, just going through it. They said, you've done this a lot. I said, yeah, you know. And it's just getting into it, and everybody helps one another. I played with everybody here in Pittsburgh at one time or another, but I've been with Al's band the longest, which really gave me the opportunity to learn a lot of songs, to make my mistakes, you know, and learn to be a better musician and vocalist. So,
what's playing in your car when you're driving down the parkway?
You want the truth?
Yes, I do.
Nothing.
Oh.
I very seldom listen to the radio. I very seldom sing. But when I'm at home, sometimes if I'm about to do a project or something like that, then I'll be listening to that on the radio. But I very seldom listen.
Any pop music catch your attention?
There's some good people out there. You know, I like to take some pop tunes and then jazz them up.
I like that.
I do a jazz... what do you call it? A jazz recital every year at Kappa. It's just for juniors and seniors. And we took a Beyonce tune, I forgot the name of it now, and we turned it into a jazz tune.
Hmm.
And I love doing that now. So sing occasionally at my church and at Allegheny Center Alliance Church with Pastor Rock, who is a trumpet player. So he knows that Al and I are members there. So he gets together with us, and we do something for offertory every now and then.
Hmm.
We did a song for my father a few weeks ago, and then I've sung with the choir there.
Now, what does it take for a voice to really turn your head when you hear it?
Sincerity. And not just trying to be a crowd pleaser, singing from your heart, you know, and it doesn't have to be the best voice out there. I don't have the best voice out there, but it's just, I believe you. When you get on that stage and you're singing, I'm thinking, every word that's coming out of your mouth, I truly believe. You're not just there to, you know, you can get into it, but...
you really feel like that performer is present there with you, not just phoning it in or lip-syncing
it
they do at these big concerts. I'm going to see Cher in April.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I love Cher.
I do.
Yeah. I love Cher. She's wonderful, and she is her own person, which makes her...
Oh, yeah, there's a personality there. But, you know, I'm wondering if she's going to lip-sync it or if she's really going to belt it out.
I think she'll belt it out. It's kind of what she's doing and how much she has to move on stage.
I know.
Because moving and singing at the same time can be difficult.
I know. Yeah. I know. But, yeah, it's kind of like that song, the Peter Allen, Quiet Please, there's a lady on stage. She may not be the latest rage, but she's singing and she means it. Those were the lyrics, I think, of that when you're describing it. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Wrote The Boy From Oz. When that was about him, and he was married to Liza.
Minnelli? No.
No, Judy Garland, I'm sorry.
No.
One of the two of them, I think he was married to for a second.
Had to have been. You got me on that one. There's a song that I used to do by Peter Allen, I'm trying to think of the name of it. When I was living in New York, right next to the theater where my show was, Peter Allen was next door. With a Pittsburgher by the name of Lenore Nemitz.
Oh, yeah.
And they were doing a show together. And I was at the Ethel Barrymore Theater, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to think of the theater that they were in. But I never got a chance to meet him, but I saw Lenore. She was there all the time.
You know? So I know you've got some great stories about some celebs.
To tell?
Yeah. That's why the martinis are here. And the camera's rolling.
I really don't have any really great stories. I really don't. People might have more stories about me
that's a wonderful thing too. That's what legends are made of.
I'm a pretty straightforward, very straight-laced person, but I do like to have fun, and I love to laugh and prankster. You know, youngest in my family, it's only two of us, and so.
All right. So, what are some good pranks you've pulled then?
This setting, you said we were going to talk and everything. A friend of mine, I'm going to name his name, Bill Trischler, told me. He said, in your lifetime, you only get so many words. He said, you've used up more than your share. I said, because I talk a lot. He said, how do you get? But anyway, it's pranks. I can't think of any recent ones. I did a lot of stuff in college.
Oh, didn't we all? Like that, yeah. You know?
And at home to my grandmother and stuff. Nothing to talk about. It's really interesting, you know.
Well, they make them out. you have done a lot of stage work in musicals too.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your roles that you've tackled in the past?
City Theater. I did Crowns, From the Mississippi Delta, Spunk, Avenue X. I can't think of them all. We're going back. The last one. The last one I did there was Crowns, which was so much fun. Unfortunately, it was the same year as Katrina.
Mm.
But it was a good show. Some fabulous Pittsburgh actresses from New York. And we had a really good time. It's about the black ladies at church that wear the big hats.
Yeah, I remember the book.
Yeah, cute show.
Yeah, they're doing great things over at City Theater. They keep us busy covering what they do. Yeah, there's a lot. We have so much great talent here, not just, you know, vocally, but actors, actresses, and film now, too. Film is getting big.
Yeah, I did, the first film I did was A Silent Witness with Valerie Bertinelli, and I played a detective. And so when I auditioned for the role, they asked me, it had been written in that it was to be a large African-American woman. And then I came and I read for it, and I said, what do you do here in Pittsburgh? I said, I'm a singer. And they said, oh. So they called me back again. You just sing here?
That's right. And they made questions. The singing detective then, right?
But I got the role. Wow. And because she had to be a very harsh, I had this scene with Valerie in the ladies' room. I remember trying to film it. There were people standing on the toilets, and they said, we want you to be so angry with her till you're like in tears. I said, no problem. I could cry in a heartbeat. So we did this together. Then I did another one, Bump in the Night, with Christopher Reeves, who played Superman.
Bumpin' in the Night?
Bump.
Okay.
Bump. Bump. B-U-M-P. Bump in the Night. And John Savage was also in The One with Valerie. I'm trying to think of the other. It was about the girl who was raped on a pool table. That's what Silent Witness was about. And Bump in the Night, I was a school marm. And then the only movie that I have ever sung in was Cemetery Club with Danny Aiello.
Yeah. That's right, that was done here too. And all these films were Pittsburgh films. Did you ever imagine on the road to Pittsburgh before you moved here that this all lie ahead in your future?
No, I felt that I would come here and I said I wanted to sing, but I figured I'd maybe get a singing gig or something. But I was primarily going to teach, because that's what I had been doing in St. Louis. I was teaching school there. And I didn't teach all those years until 11 years ago when I went to Kappa.
Hmm. Now, we talked a little bit about film. Who would play Etta Cox in the Etta Cox story?
Oh, somebody good like Kerry Washington.
Well, yeah.
But she's the hottest thing out right now, you know.
You can ask for that. Hey, it's... I can't make any promises. I'm just, who would, if you had your
I don't know if she sings or not, but I just think she's just a cool actress.
Yeah. Now, do you feel the same about when you're performing on camera as it is when you're performing for a live audience? Because you kind of say you don't like to see the audience. Is it different for you when it's a film project?
Film is not really natural for me. I hate saying that because, you know, they do so many takes and so many takes and there's so much hurry up and wait. You're sitting around forever, you know, and it's the trickle-down effect of if the director is teed off, then the next one, everybody's yelling at each other until they get to you. And, you know, the best thing about it is hair and makeup. Hey, I love that. But, you know, it's... I've done enough. I guess I've done maybe 6 or 7, you know, films locally. I remember we were doing the Cemetery Club, and I had to sing "There'll Never Be Another You," and a couple something else I can't remember. Memory's gone. But when I auditioned, this took me out to Carrick. There's a trailer out there where the director was, and they had asked me if I had a party dress, and I said yes. I put on this little pink party dress. And I walked into his trailer, and it was all in lavender. I thought, oh, my gosh, you know. So my pink up against the lavender refrigerator was kind of cool, you know.
Wow.
And he said, do you know, Bill Duke was his name, do you know the song, There'll Never Be Another You? I said, yes, I do. He said, it's my favorite.
Really?
I was thinking, if I blow this song. You know? So I sang for him. And he called the girl and goes, take her to wardrobe. I went, yes. So they... took me down to...
That's how you do it.
And they got me this outfit, and everything was great. And we were doing the thing at Heinz Hall. It was in one of the rooms, the Mozart room or something. And you know how the camera comes down on the... and it moves all around everything. So they said, cue, the girl's going to sing, you know. And the camera came up. They started at my feet and came all the way up to my face. And the director called cut. And he says, does she have a long dress? I guess he didn't like my legs. They said,
oh my gosh.
He didn't like the dress. And they said, do you have something at home? Because they had picked this out for me. I said, yeah. So how far away do you live? I said, just over the bridge. So they put me in a truck and drove me to my house, and I went through my closet like this. And the guy goes, you know, this is costing him $3,000 a minute. I'm like, really? You know, so I got a dress, a long gold lamé dress that I had that matched the top. Came back, put it on. That's it. Then they shot the scene.
I gotta go out and get all these movies now. You know, because I of course know them and I believe I've seen them. But now, of course, I want to go. You know, have the Etta Cox trilogy or.
I might have a small, tiny part, but you know, there's residual on all of those.
Yeah, so
I did War.
And I'm a fan. I'll watch that whole movie.
Oh, three. It was the next 3 days with Russell Crowe.
And, how was that?
I have never seen it. I just didn't, you know, I had a small part. I was a notary, and we did it down here at the jail. And I remember going in and meeting him, and his face was all made up because he'd been beaten or something. I'm like, hello.
It's probably just him after a Friday night.
Yeah.
He just walked on the set.
I don't know if my scene even made it into the movie, but I know I was paid for it, and, you know, you just never know.
I did Batman when it was here. I was a Gotham City police officer. Can you picture that?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even try for Batman. You know. But there are a couple of movies I thought I wanted to try out for. And there's a series that they were getting ready to do here. This was recent that I wanted to. I think I auditioned for that, but I didn't get anything in that one. you know, I like doing that. It's fun.
You know, structurally, film probably is the furthest thing from jazz, because the way you described it, it's all that, you know, retake and hurry up and wait, whereas jazz, just let it happen.
You just do your thing.
So that's interesting that you straddle both worlds.
Yeah. It's like this, I turn nothing down. I don't want to look back in my life with regrets and say I coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, I came here and I went through a divorce, and I worked for Rockwell International, and I had auditioned for the Civic Light Opera, and I went in the year before I got in Rockwell. So I went to Mr. Rockwell's office and I told him, I said, I auditioned for CLO and I made it again this year and I would really like to do it. I was just a relief receptionist there. And he said, oh, I think it's great. One of our employees is going to be in the Civic Light Opera. So that gave me off the summer to sing and dance at Heinz Hall.
That's great.
And then I came back because he was on the board at Heinz Hall and CLO.
Wow.
So it was the opportunity to get my equity card, so if I ever did go to New York, I had my card. I didn't have to go to cattle call auditions. So it was everybody wanted to get into CLO.
What do you think's the best advice you've ever received?
Probably from my dad. He came to live with me about 7 years ago from Missouri, and he said that he was getting a little forgetful. I have that extra bedroom. Come on, you know. So he came, and when I was living in New York, it wasn't always good, you know, between shows and you're trying to find work and everything. And I had never been hungry, like hungry in my whole life. And I called my dad and I said, you know, I think I'm really hungry. I didn't have much money. It was between shows. And he told me to read Matthew, the 6th chapter, 24th, 25th verse, I believe. Consider the lilies of the field, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, that meaning the Lord will take care of you. And so it always stays with me.
So what advice would you have for somebody who is maybe a little hungry right now and is just starting out and trying to make it in the music scene here in Pittsburgh and perhaps beyond?
People always say things like, believe in yourself. Well, you can believe in yourself all you want, but, you know, if it's not happening, it's not happening. But I think don't just take something just for the heck of, you know, just say, well, I'm going to take this. Make sure it's something that you really want to do and you really have a passion for it and you really think that you can contribute in some way, you know. And I think a lot of things will come your way like that. Sometimes we reach out there and I have a dream. Every show I see it, the voice, I'm living my dream. I have never slept that long to have any kind of dreams like that. You know, stuff. Where are they getting all this dreaming from? You know, this is my dream. No, I never had any dreams like that. It's just life. And enjoy it, because as you get older, things change and it's another journey you're on. So, and I see that.
Mm-hmm. So that journey for you then, what's next? What's on the horizon for you?
Well, one thing that I'm looking forward to is this March or April, doing a thing with the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's called Smoke and Roses. And we did it about 7 years ago. And we do jazz songs, and they do their dancing.
Ballet to jazz.
The jazz, yeah.
Now that's got to be an interesting fusion, because you think of ballet and the kind of elegance that goes with it. Not that jazz is not elegant, but ballet in my consciousness just seems so tied to that classical genre of music.
Well, once you see what, I cannot think of the choreographer's name, oh my gosh. But once you see what he has done, we sent him the music. Like I said, we did it 7 years ago, and they just called me this year to do it again. And what he did with these songs, we do songs like Filthy McNasty by Horace Silver.
Ballet to Filthy McNasty. Well, I'll be there. I've got to see this.
That's the final song. We do a blues, two blues. The opener is The Greatest Performance of My Life. And Nancy Wilson did it. Shirley Bassey did it.
Tonight I give the greatest performance of my life. Yeah, I know the Shirley Bassey version. I'm a huge Shirley Bassey fan.
So that's the opener.
You're singing it?
Yeah. With Al and the guys.
I've got to go.
Yeah.
You'll see me there.
So,
or maybe not, but I'll be in the audience because I know you don't like to see
who's
in the audience.
We'll be in the pit, which I love. I'm in the pit, but the guys can't even see what the people are doing on stage. The last time we did it at the Biome.
Wow.
And it was really nice. I think we're at the August Wilson this time, but it's a great, and then we took it to Wolf Trap. So it's fun. And I was just so touched that they asked us to do it again.
Of course.
After 7 years. I may have to lower my keys, but...
I see your name everywhere. You get a lot of work. And you work hard. You are working all the time.
Not as much as, you know...
Well, you give that impression. I'd go with that.
Hey, right. Got your name out there. Well, I do a lot of different things. We've been with Gateway to the Arts.
Oh, yes, of course.
For 28 years.
That's wonderful.
And so we do... It's called A Vocal Journey in African-American Music. And we've seen over a million kids over those years. And it's people... You said, oh, remember you from, I was in sixth grade when you came to my school, and this 50-year-old person, I'm like, really? You know, so it's great. We don't do as many because I'm at Kappa adjunct in the afternoons, and a lot of the schools want you to do an afternoon performance.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the ones, we do them in the morning, and it's with the guys, and I narrate the whole thing. And after 28 years, I finally have it memorized. So,
oh, yeah. Congrats. That's good.
it's fun, you know.
Now, the Etta Cox albums that are out, we treasure, but it's been a while since we've seen a new one. Is there any plans in the future for a new release?
Well, this year I would love to get started on another one. You know, might be a Christmas one. I really don't want to do, but maybe I'll do a regular album with a Christmas song.
With one Christmas song. Yeah. And we can drop it around Christmas time.
Yeah, right.
You know, push it. Yeah.
And buy this album for that one Christmas song. But I really, and I've been saying this for years, and someone said to me, they said, you need to put something out, you know, because you just need to. And I said, I guess so.
So it's the universe pressuring you, not anything internally pressuring you to do an album.
No, I've had so many people say it. Did you have anything out? And I think it's so easy these days to do a CD or, you know, to burn it. So I guess I'm going to have to do it.
Well, shock us all and do like an LP or something, you know?
Well, hey, I had those from long ago. We did a Touch of Class.
Oh.
Many years ago.
I love listening to old records. Mm-hmm. I still have a bunch that I'll play. It's something... about that quality that you get from there. It's just a little.
Well, you know, you can different. Put the LP out now and then also insert something that you can make a, what is it, MP3 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there are devices where you can play an LP and record it digitally. I've done that with a lot of albums that I can't find digitally.
I have
digitally
two now. Machines like that at home that I've never used that you can do that with. But, yeah, it's. I really enjoy what I do. I know my. One of my colleagues at school said to me, she said, well, how long are you going to do this? And I said, well, I think my body will give out before my enthusiasm. So.
Be a long time. But, you know, let's talk about that for a second. What's on your Pittsburgh bucket list? What have you got to do in this city?
Well, that's a good one.
I got some good ones from time to time.
Yeah. My bucket list for something I haven't done here. It may sound terrible, but I've done just about everything here. I've sung with the symphony.
It doesn't have to be music related.
Yeah.
You know?
Hmm.
Like ride the incline if you've never been on the incline.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
Really? You knew I was going to say the incline.
I knew you were going to say that. And I did it one time. I'm done with that. You know, it took me a long time just to adjust to the hills here.
Yeah.
Because Missouri.
Oh, you know. Yeah. You know, I lived in Leavenworth, Kansas for a year.
Leavenworth, yeah.
My father was military, so.
Okay.
That was a switch.
I used to perform down there at the base.
Yeah, that's where we lived. And the prison was right there, and they had the buffalo walking around in the yard.
Yeah. My sister still lives in Lawrence, Kansas. She's with the engineering department at KU.
Yeah, but it doesn't get more geographically diverse than Pittsburgh versus Kansas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I first moved here, we had an apartment in Roslyn, Florence, Pinsbury Village. And I had a little Fiat Spider that I could get on, drive on Route 66 outside of St. Louis.
Awesome.
Got here, and I stayed on that hill for like 2 weeks. I wouldn't drive my car. It was like going down a roller coaster. So it just made me sick.
Wow.
So finally, I got used to it, and I found that in Pittsburgh, you can drive until you get lost, and you can ask anybody. They'll give you directions. It's just so I know my way around Pittsburgh, like, better than Pittsburghers.
Yeah, and it's the people here, yeah. too. You know, it's the great kind of town where you can do that.
I mean, for having not, I'm not from here, but the people here have been so good to me and have allowed me to do so many things that I don't know if I was in St. Louis, I would have been able to do it. But here, I've had so many opportunities. I had a TV show that was endorsed by the mayor's office for 7 years called City Life with Alex Coleman, where he interviewed all the public officials and the mayor, and it was a great little show. You know, it was so the house that I bought, we always had houses up for bid, you know, in the city, and I eventually found this house on the north side, and I went to look at it. And the bid on the house was $500. I went, I'm a musician. That's my kind of house.
Yeah.
So I went through all the rigmarole, and I got the house. And I'm in it right now, and I renovated it and put in
made it your
everything.
Own.
Yeah.
And so what is your style when it comes to decor?
I don't like to put things on the walls. You will not see a lot of pictures hanging. I don't like to put holes in the walls for some reason. And if I have a mirror up, it's kind of like this, and you can always move it. I'm just very, very plain. I'm a Virgo. I'm like picky. But, you know, that's like very plain. You know, I have this one wall that's like magenta. And I painted that last year.
Well, that's kind of the opposite of plain.
But it's just the one wall as you come in. And everybody goes, boop. I like that one. Nothing's on that wall, but I like that wall.
The magenta. It's my magenta. And if you're going to pick a color to make a statement.
Well, I've been there all these years, and I finally decided to do something with the wall. But everything else is like pale pink and white.
Right.
Yeah.
So as far as this city, where do you like to go to relax? You know, when you're not singing or working on a project, there's areas in Pittsburgh that you gravitate to?
The restaurants. I love to eat out.
Let's talk restaurants in Pittsburgh.
I love to eat out. And I'd love to go to Atria's PNC Park. Johnny Angel. That's his place. You know, that's his Atria's.
Yeah, they've been around a long time.
Yeah, but that's
I forget that.
First one. And they have the best ribs.
Atria's.
Yes.
I wouldn't have known PNC. That one, that location.
Yeah, the other ones I can't speak for, but PNC, the best ribs. And I go there, and their meatloaf is it's really good, too. If I need a meat fix, I go over there.
I'm learning secrets here. I never knew this.
They have great ribs, and they have a smoker there, and oh, they fall off the bone. They're so good. Ooh, I'm hungry.
Yeah, what are you doing after this interview? let's go get some ribs.
I go there a lot, and one of my favorites is the one in Shadyside. Oh, gosh. Oh, it's right there on the...
What's the style?
South Highland. Mediterranean, maybe?
Casbah. Oh, nice atmosphere there, too.
Yes. Love
That's one of the Casbah. Big burrito restaurants,
yeah.
I think.
But that one is just... You never have a bad meal there. I mean, it's always good. And no matter what you get, it's cooked to perfection.
Consistency is key.
Vegetables are so good. Yeah. Love the Casbah.
Do you cook?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, get out of here. Yes. No, what are your specialties? What do you like to cook?
Anything and everything. I'm in the throes of raising a little 7-year-old.
Oh.
And I help Al because he had a stroke in 2008. So they are with me. And so I'm cooking all the time. And the 7-year-old's been in my life since he was like 28 months old. And I never had children. Knew I couldn't have them. Didn't miss it, you know. But now I see what I'm missing. I was missing out on. And at one time I had my dad, who has dementia, Alzheimer's, Al, and the 7-year-old
wow.
little boy.
And cooking for them all.
Yeah. And loving it. The Lord has really blessed me in that way. And everybody, a 7-year-old, well, he's 7 now, but, you know, he was 2 or 3, and I was dressing him, and I was just like, he was like a baby doll. Like, oh, my gosh. Anyway, but everybody that knows me, knows this child makes me extremely happy.
That's wonderful.
Very happy. So, very complete, you know, it's not like everything's over, but this is another life, and he loves music. He has perfect pitch. and he can sing. He likes to sing, but doesn't want to be shy. Doesn't want to sing in front of people. But he's...
You'll get him there.
Yeah. Because Ella. He calls me Ella. My name's Ella. I said, you know my name's Ella. I know Ella. I like the L's better. I said, okay. So I said, Elvis Gerald is fine. You can call me Ella. He says, Ella, all you want to do is sing. I said, no, I don't. But he's been to about every gig I've ever done. So when he was about 3, he was out at the Holiday Inn. And I'm sitting there singing, and he is sitting in a chair. He's watching me. And he moseys up to the tape, up to the, my chair, and sits on my lap. And I'm, he's like just looking at me. And everybody's going, oh, who's the little boy? He's just looking at my mouth and every word. I mean, I'm like in tears. I've never had a child do that to me before. So he's my guy.
Wow. Yeah. It's kind of like Auntie Mame.
Yeah. You know, I was watching that movie the other day, and I was, that's me.
That is my all-time favorite film.
Yeah, with Rosalind
Russell. Rosalind Russell, yes. Not the musical with Lucy. God bless her. She was trying. Yeah. But the film with Rosalind Russell. And it's such a literal adaptation of what they did on stage and Broadway. In fact, I think even the same man who directed it on Broadway directed it on film.
Oh, really?
I think so. Morton
DaCosta. It's a good movie. It's okay. I'm an old movie buff.
Me too. We could go on for days.
I watch anything before 1948.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything in black and white... I watch AMC all the time, or Turner, whatever. Mm-hmm,
Turner Classics.
I watched Born to be Bad with Joan Fontaine, who just passed away.
Yeah, we lost a lot of great ones this year.
This year, yeah. And the other one, Suspicion, with Cary Grant and
yes,
Joan Fontaine.
Yes, I have that, but I haven't watched it yet.
Oh,
I collect movies. I, honest to goodness, I probably have about 3,000 DVDs in the basement.
Do you?
Most of them are in black and white, and I've probably only seen... maybe about half at this point. It's finding the time, you know?
I, because of the movies, I belong to the Screen Actors Guild, and every year around Academy Award time,
mm-hmm.
they send me DVDs of all the movies that are up for Academy Awards. So I have all these little DVDs of Argo and whatever was up for last year, mm-hmm. and the Help and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So I have not looked at one of them. But I'll sit and watch one of those old movies.
It's a style the likes of which we'll never see again.
No. The lighting, everything was like perfection and done so well. Even some of the B movies, you know, were better than some of the stuff you see today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is there a particular actor or actress that you really just gravitate to that really just lights you up from that era?
Laurence Olivier in Wuthering Heights. Because I didn't know who he was years and years ago. I thought, who is this guy? He's really good, because I'm watching he and Meryl Oberon.
Yeah.
And I just thought he was as marvelous as Heathcliff.
Mm-hmm. And that voice.
Wow.
I mean, he had such a control over language. And as a vocalist, I'm sure you appreciate that.
I thought he was just a marvelous. Even as he became older, he was really, mm-hmm. really good. He
always had a presence.
The Boys from Brazil, I believe he was in.
Yeah.
But that's my thought.
Well, you're popular. Imagine if nobody ever called.
Hello. But I do love old movies. And, of course, Gone with the Wind. And,
mm-hmm.
You know.
I'm always learning something from them. I always find myself inspired in mm-hmm. some way, creatively. Even silent films.
Even the movie. Oh, I watched those, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I watched Uncle Tom's Cabin, a silent film of and it was riveting.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where they're crossing the river was absolutely, I don't know how they did it back then. And I was telling
you. They probably actually did it.
Yeah.
You know, they made their actors do that. There were no stuntmen. You were under contract. You swam in the river. You walked across.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I went back to school and said, did you see Uncle Tom's Cabin? Yeah. Uncle Tom's Cabin. Yeah. Even movies where African Americans are not in a particularly good light. I still like to see, because I know what they went through to get to be where they...
Well, and it shows you, too, what the mentality of not only Hollywood, but presumably the nation was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what was being portrayed in cinema art.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of a window into what was going on in the consciousness of the country, and the depending upon when the film was made. So that's kind of what I try to look into, as well. Oh, yeah, but a wealth of art there. Well, this is great. We're going to be eating ribs, watching movies.
For sure, martinis.
Right, good martinis. What's your favorite cocktail?
I like Kettle One Martini. Just wave the vermouth over it.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. All right.
Because it just makes it.
But we're going to be pals for a long time.
Weird taste, you know, with a twist normally. But an olive, if I'm hungry.
if you haven't had your vegetables today.
Yeah, I'll have an olive, but I like usually a twist of lemon. Mm-hmm. Or that on the rocks and splash of soda.
Indeed.
My dad was a bartender.
Oh.
And he didn't drink. And when I went to college, he told me, he said, now, I didn't have to give this speech to your sister, but I know I'm going to have to give it to you. If you're going to drink, stay away from the dark liquor. And don't drink any of the sweet drinks, like the daiquiris and pina coladas. And I said, oh, I said, I don't know why you have to give me that little sermon, you know.
Yeah.
So afterwards, I went to college, pina colada! Headache!
Yeah.
So I just stayed away from all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly strike me as somebody that has a lot of richness in their life. Absolutely.
I do. I'm blessed in so many ways. And I am a Christian, and I don't want to just talk about it. I really want to live it. Mm-hmm. And 'cause that's who I am. I always have been. It's not something that I've just developed, but I have developed a real connection with the Lord. And I start my day off that way with my, it's called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. And then I go into my daily bread. Every morning, and I feel really bad if I don't make it, but I always set that time aside to give the Lord his due, because he's been so good to me, and I'm very blessed.
It shows. You are radiant.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
It was great chatting with you.
It was nice talking to you, too.
Oh, this was divine. And we're going to down our cocktails and head on down for ribs.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.